Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing, "They will know we are Christians by our love." But is that how they really know us? We would hope so. Isaiah admonished that the Lord delights in those who are humble and contrite in spirit. But those who pursue self-chosen ways will be put to shame. As part of our Old Testament reading today, the Lord commends Isaiah to speak words of comfort to those who are in anguish over the destruction of Jerusalem. For thus says the Lord, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so shall I comfort you, declares the Lord." As we prepare to celebrate the history of our nation's independence from an oppressive kingdom, our gospel reading today speaks of God's gracious rule in human hearts. Jesus sent 72 disciples to declare the coming near of his eternal kingdom of grace and to speak of the promise of his kingdom of glory that awaits all who hope in him. Jesus would offer an independence from the tyrannic ruler of this world. He would offer independence from sin's rule over us. He would draw near with his merciful rule. In the same way that he had sent Isaiah, Jesus anointed 72 disciples to go ahead of him in a spirit of gentleness as his representative to the nations around Israel. He sent them as sheep among wolves. When folks receive you, he instructed, speak to them of God's peace, heal their sick, and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. If folks get nasty, which folks sometimes do, don't respond in like fashion. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Even in our time, the person to whom you witness may reject you in an effort to silence your message about Jesus, but their rejection of you is nothing less than their rejection of God himself. You are merely God's faithful messenger. So don't lose heart, and don't fight fire with fire. It is the same for church leaders who have been given the ministry of word and sacrament. Church leaders are sent as sheep among wolves. They have no authority according to the gospel. Theirs is no more than to have the authority to forgive sins, the authority to judge doctrine, the authority to reject doctrines that are contrary to the Bible, and to exclude from the communion of the church wicked people whose wickedness is known, but in a spirit of gentleness. In our time, as in Jesus' time, church workers are sent as sheep among wolves. It took me a while to figure out who the wolves were. In our gospel reading, Jesus sends out 72 greenhorn, wet behind the ear, new disciples, a bunch of newbies. And as he sends them, he offers them a bit of basic human communication. Some advice on that. Communication is a two-way street. Good communication needs both a speaker who can be heard and a listener who will hear. If either one misses the mark, communication will also miss the mark. So what does that speaker who can be heard, what does he sound like? Is that what it means to be a good speaker that can be heard? Is that we shout? No. It seems that the more we shout, the less we're heard. It means speak in a way that you can be heard. And it was perfect timing, by the way. In sending these disciples out, Jesus was sending them out as sheep among wolves. He was very deliberate about how they were to represent him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He sent them in a spirit of gentleness so that they could be heard. Sometimes when I teach in preschool, talking loud doesn't work. But if I talk like this, did you know Jesus loves you? All of a sudden they get quiet and they hear me, just like you did. That's what Jesus is talking about. Go in a spirit of gentleness so that you will be heard. In this way, those who heard their message would be without excuse. Because like it or not, take it or leave it, the kingdom of heaven was coming near. A missionary in New Guinea told a story to emphasize why Jesus sent the disciples as sheep among wolves. He recounts how missionaries sent before him had frightened the natives of New Guinea in a display of terrible communication. They had thrown sweet potatoes, the staple food of the natives, they had thrown sweet potatoes into a raging fire. And as they did that, they shouted, "That's the way you will burn in God's hell if you don't turn to him and believe in him." He goes on to say that many natives had joined the church, probably out of fear. But their so-called conversion did not last because it was really no conversion at all. Because fear of condemnation brings nothing but despair. It does not bring conversion. Fear of condemnation does not bring salvation. It can prepare the way for the gospel. But this missionary telling the story was sent out as a sheep among wolves. He would communicate God's word differently. He began with the good news of a loving God and a good creation. A good creation that mankind had disrupted. He shared the good news of Calvary's cross and Christ's loving death on a cross for sinners. This is the only message that can save souls from the fires of hell. He had gone out as a sheep. This missionary had gone out as a sheep. But those who had gone before him, well, they failed because they went as sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by the fruit that they bear. They will know we are Christians by our love." In today's gospel, Jesus sent the disciples as sheep among wolves. A wolf in sheep's clothing, also known as a false prophet, can be identified by what they teach. They will speak twisted things. They will misrepresent the Bible. Their message will miss the mark and they will lead souls astray. Sheep are comparatively weak and helpless, whereas wolves are aggressive and voracious and ravenous. Wolves pose as pious, well-behaved spiritual people, but their goal is to serve self without any care for the sheep around them. Jesus sent these men as sheep so that those to whom they were sent would not hear them, but would hear him who sent them. In this way, the burden of proper reception of the message, the hearer that will hear, if you will, the reception of the message of salvation falls on the hearer, so that those who reject the message are without excuse. To some, the message was received as a message of a loving God sending his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's holy mountain for sinners, and it was received as very good news, as it should be. But to others, the coming of the kingdom of God sounded like judgment and hell, like sweet potatoes thrown into a raging fire. The message spoken of the kingdom of God coming was the same in both cases. But the difference in its reception can be summed up the difference in the words reception in two words. And I found it in the text, to you. The way it was received differently for me is described in those two words, to you. In the first example, Jesus said, "Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, thus receiving me and receiving him who sent me, heal their sick, speak peace to them, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Whereas in the second example, Jesus said, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, say to them, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near and you pushed it away. The Holy Spirit came near to you in the good news of Jesus, but you would not let him come close to you. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Herein lies the good news. I'm going to repeat that one. To all who received him, to all who believed in the name of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Just like we did the call and response earlier, do you know that Jesus loves you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that easy. The message is that easy. He has come close to you. But I still wonder why some received the kingdom of God and some didn't. Was it a matter of cultural and social stigmas and hatred, like was the case with the Samaritan village in last week's text, where, by the way, it wasn't just the Samaritans who were the haters. It was also those that were sent. They had a problem. And I wonder, is it the same for people in our day? When Jesus comes near, why do some refuse his kingdom? Do they feel they have too much to lose? Are they afraid of losing their independence as we approach our Independence Day? Is it a matter of I like my life the way it is, so just let me be? Is it a question of, do I have to give up everything I have and give it to the poor? Or are we just afraid that if we let him get too close to us, he will find out who we really are? But here's the thing, and here's the good news. He already knows. He already knows who you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. And yet he came to die on a cross for you. Like the hymn that we will sing in a little bit here, through faith in Jesus, God declares you to be at peace with him. He declares you to be pure. Jesus knows exactly who you are, and that's why he came. So the question becomes, will you take a chance? Will you let Jesus come near to you? Bit of a story. In my previous life, I worked for a production company, a printing company. I was a production manager. The company was purchased by a large corporate organization in an effort to increase profits. You get rid of people, so you do the same or more work with fewer people. So I was the guy that managed the production side, and there were two gals left in the office to manage customer service, sales, order preparation, order production, shipping. They were overwhelmed. My boss came to me and said, you know what, why don't you see if you can give them a hand. Go up and we're behind on writing some orders, and we got to get these things written so that we can get them produced. Why don't you go up and help? I'll do the best I can. That's not my field of expertise, but I'll go up there and I'll give a hand. So I grabbed some stuff off a file cabinet and I started erasing and started scribbling. And the gal in charge, bless her heart, came up and said, no, I'll do that. But my boss just said, it's too much for you. Let me help you out. I'll just grab some more out of here. And she physically put herself between me and the files. Those files were immaculate. She had worked for years to keep those files perfect. And she didn't want some guy with grease and ink all over his hands messing that up. And I get that. Now, I didn't at first. My boss said, I have to do this, so you need to get out of my way. I wasn't very kind to her. She stood her ground. And as she backed up physically against that file cabinet, I could see that a tear began to come to her eyes. And it's like, oh, I shouldn't be where I am. About that time, my boss came up. What's going on? I was like a little kid. She won't let me do what you told me to do. And, you know, bless her heart. And he said, well, you know, just go back to work. And we'll take care of it. Let her do her thing. And you do your thing. I tell you that because, bless her heart, that workload was way more than one person could ever handle. but in her goal of being faithful to what she'd been called to do, she was going to do that, and nobody was going to let her, no one was going to help her do it. In her faithfulness, she would stay for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to get that done, and she would not allow me or anyone else to take that load from her. I'm guessing that some of you probably know what that's like, either firsthand or you've witnessed that. So here's why I tell you that. Jesus has already paid the full price for your sin. Will you keep holding on to it, though it's way more than you can handle? Or will you let him take it from you? Will you allow Jesus to feed and nourish you? Will you receive peace that he freely offers, there's these two words, to you? If you fear the dirt of your sin, if you fear that it is wiped off against you, may this Independence Day be the day that Jesus comes near to you and takes that load from you. For there is an independence. There is a freedom that draws near to you. There is a freedom from tyranny. Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the dead. He died on Calvary's holy mountain. Through faith in him, as we will sing in a minute, God the Father smiles on you. Peace with God is yours for free, for the receiving. Independence from sin, death, and hell is yours through Christ Jesus. Your name is written in heaven right now through him. For I proclaim unto you that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.